If you find this podcast, this is for you. Our lives are written in ink. There are no backspaces, cancels, or delete buttons. But beauty and redemption emerge when we embrace our ink-stained imperfections and share them with one another. This is how we find our strength. This is how we renew our resolve. This is how we overcome. You're listening to the Inkfully Podcast, and I'm your host, Tanya Woods. Okay, everybody. Hey, welcome back to the Inkfully Podcast. You know who it is. It's your girl, Tanya. And we have a good show for you today. I have a good friend of mine from here in Atlanta on the show, and I'm going to intro her in just a moment. But before I do, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Miss Camille. Oh my gosh, what's your last name? Pause.
Robinson.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like,
For now.
Hey. See, I can't even get through the intro good before my girl has me laughing. So, Miss Camille Robinson for now. And Camille is an actress. She's a model. She owns her space. Okay, homegirl's been in your best Target ads. What else have you been in? Fruit of the Loom.
Oh, yeah, a bunch.
Some Gold everything. Bond. Gold Bond.
Yeah. Commercials for days.
Commercials for days. She's out here working, you guys. And she's beautiful. She has your, I wish you could see the screen across from me because she definitely has your girl. You can check her Instagram out in a little bit. I'll drop that down. Your girl next door, feel to you. I feel like that's why you probably get all the bookings because you have this girl next
yes.
vibe.
You just said it. That's the title they give. We want a girl next door.
Ah,
and I'm like, okay,
see?
A black one?
Yeah, a black one. I'm your girl. Book me. I love it.
Yes.
So I love that about you. But you know, the thing that when I first met you, so I know you through a good friend of mine, Ashley. Mm-hmm. So first of all, say hey to the people since I went ahead and intro'd you. And I was like,
hi to the people. Hi, people.
So I know you through a good friend of mine, Ashley. Ashley, if you're listening, hey, boo. So,
hey, Ashley. Love you. Miss you.
So Ashley and I went to college together. And then when I moved here to Atlanta, she was like, oh, you have to connect with my girl Camille now that you're out there. And so we all kind of did brunch together. And the first thing I noticed about you is just this glowing, radiating smile, tons of energy, like good vibe energy, which I love. Good. And I was just like, this chick is cool. Like, I have to definitely, like, you know, just kick it with you some more over time. And then I went to your Instagram. And I saw how not only were you using your platform, obviously you're using it to, like, you know, do whatever you need to do in terms of your industry, but you kind of, it's a multifaceted platform of like, hey, let me also use this platform to, like, encourage, inspire women. How did that kind of come about?
You know, that has always kind of been me.
Yeah.
So when I look back even at my senior book or yearbooks, people are always like, oh my gosh, thank you, Camille. You're such a, you know, good encourager. Are you smiling? I love your words. I'm like, I was doing that in high school. I was really petty and nice, encouraging people. Like, what? But that's always just been me. I think I was very sensitive. And people really didn't know that when I was younger, but I was sensitive. When I would be getting dropped off at school, if I saw a girl sitting by herself, it would make me sad. Mm-hmm. If I saw, like, I don't know, a guy or young boy, you know, kind of a loner, but I realized over time that was just my spirit of discernment that God gave me at such a young age.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It bled through my heart. And so what I can empathize what people are feeling. And so as a young girl, I was like feeling stuff like, oh, I feel sorry for them, but really God just gave me a discerning spirit that they probably were going through something at that time.
Wow.
And so the feeling of that always made me want to go up to someone and make sure they're smiling or encourage them, you know? And so I think it's just, let me tell you something though, 99.9% of my videos, I'm talking to myself, okay?
I know, isn't that right? You better say it.
Listen, people are all like, oh my gosh, Camille, you know, thank you so much for that word, da 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 da. And I'm like, okay, like I knew God would touch one person, but I want you to know, like, it was for me. Like, it's not above me now. it's for me. It was for me. So I think that's how it came about. That's just who I am. I know how it feels not to be encouraged. I know how it feels to be broken. So
I
think that's, it's just a natural thing.
Right. I love that. Okay. So as we transition to I want to talk about what we're talking about today is a little bit of both. You mentioned something just a second ago where sometimes people need that encouragement because they can't find it for themselves. Right. And I know that your story has evolved In so many ways, you've walked through, you know, so much in your, what, 30 something years, you know what I mean?
I'm in my Jesus year 33, but I do yes. play some students on TV. Hello, somebody. Okay.
What age are they casting you for when you usually like, where they casting you for?
So I was just on a show, Insatiable, episode 6. That's a high school show. Mm, so I was in high school.
Wow. I can definitely tell though, for sure. You can pull that up.
Listen, put the curls in my hair and just, hey, how you doing? You know, there's a movie coming out this year. I have a small role in it. I'm called It's Time, and I'm a college student. Mm-hmm. But then there's been roles like On Hindsight. That was a show on VH1 where I was in my young 20s, actually in my 20s. Then I was on Red Band Society for an episode. And I think I was in high school then. Projects coming out, God willing, this year where I played my actual age. So, yeah. Whatever I'm a good pretender.
Yeah, okay? You're like, I'll be whatever you want me to be.
Yes.
Put some makeup and extra, you know, foundation cracks on me. I'll play a 72-year-old, whatever.
Come
you
on.
Yeah. Got you. So today I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about how you've learned to like own and occupy the space that you're in and how you've navigated this journey being in the industry. But also let's talk about how you've had to navigate this whole like toxic relationships, letting go of people. I feel like that's a really big component before you're able to own like what God has for you and mentally be able to sift through essentially the lies and the weeds of other people around you, either whether it's through family or through friendships or through relationships. I want to dive into that a little bit because I know that's a part of your story as well, and then we'll kind of just go back and forth through the whole thing. Sound good?
I love it. I think it's great. Yes, let's do it.
Yes. Okay. So tell me a little bit about, just tell me a little about you in terms of like, in terms of how were you as a little girl? What did the relationships look like in your life when you were 8-year-old Camille? Like, you know what I mean? As you were evolving and getting older.
So for one, my family will always tell you, oh, Camille's always talking. I was so fearless and, I would talk, go up to anybody, strangers. I was always that child. But then I was a tattletale to my cousins, which I'm so embarrassed to say. So the girls.
The tattletale.
I was, because I was by the book. Like, so when it came to authority, I was the child that you wanted in your class because I am going to follow authority. I saw my older, you know, sister be free and liberal. And I was like, I don't want to get hit.
You were the rule follower. Yeah, you didn't want to get hit.
I was a rule follower. So little Camille was definitely a rule follower. And I guess a people pleaser. Yeah. I had a big heart.
You feel like you remain that way over time, or how did that like either stay the same or change as you got older, maybe into your teen?
Well, yeah. Part of that, of course, still is in me, but I mean, life experience is changing, right? And so I remember my mom started having seizures when I went into middle school. Mm-hmm. It was the first day of the night before I went to middle school. My great grandmother had passed. My mom, my older sister went down to Deerfield to see them. And that night, she had her first grand mal seizure. Wow. I woke up. Yeah, to my dad putting my little sister in the bed with me. Now, even think about that. I have an older sister, older brother, but my baby sister came in the bed with me.
Hmm.
And so, I think that was just to how my parents saw me. Like I was, you know, at that age, they can trust me with my little sister. Not that they couldn't trust my older brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not that they couldn't trust my older siblings with her. But I guess innately had that kind of nurturing spirit. Yeah. So I remember looking out in the hall, seeing paramedics in my mom's room. And from that point, I think there was a shift. I changed. Mm-hmm. I changed from that point on. I remember people calling the house. I'm 10 years old at this time. Yeah. You know, people calling the house and I'm answering while they're in the hospital. You know, with my mom. And then the next Saturday, my grandfather passed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was in the car for 3:00 in the morning. My cousin comes to knock on the door to get my mom. And I wake up and I'm riding with her. And I don't leave her side and I don't cry in front of my mom. Mm-hmm. I had learned at 10 to suppress my emotions to make sure my mom was okay, you know, without therapy. And so that kind of really change and start to mold who I was in a strong but also very unhealthy way.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I took on to protect my mom as a young girl, and you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
You know, and so I would, from that point on, rearrange my schedule, my activities in middle school to make sure I can drive with her to a choir rehearsal practice, to wherever she needed to go, because I could not let her out of my sight because I had to protect her.
Wow.
And I had to make sure when she had a seizure, and when she did have like mild seizures, we would be in like Blockbuster. I don't even know if people know what Blockbuster is, but if you are above, if you're in 80s and up, you know, you do.
You know what Blockbuster is. Yeah.
Right. Okay. We'll be in there, and she would be taking out cash. And then, excuse me, all of a sudden, she gets a look in her face where you would think as a normal person, you wouldn't notice anything. Maybe that she's ignoring you or she's in deep thought, but I knew she was not coherent. So I would have to take her wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And give the money to the, you know, cashier and put it in, you know, take the receipt and like walk her out of the store. And so I always remember feeling embarrassed, but also sad, but also like protective, defensive, mm-hmm. all these emotions as a sixth grader, you know, carried on.
Yeah. So how did that?
I think you were going to ask how did that end up showing up in like later on in life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it continued. So I tended to gravitate to relationships that needed me, that I was the strongest in. So unhealthy, and so not so much in my friendships. I've had the same girlfriends since I was 15. We've all went to high school, college together. Yeah, it's a bunch. I've known Ashley since I was 13. And we've been friends since.
That's amazing, right there. That's a blessing for sure.
Oh, it sure is a blessing. I love my sisters. But yeah, as far as romantically, like going into my adulthood, you know, I was married. A lot of people don't even know that. I was married, but I chose an unhealthy relationship because I was unhealthy. You know, mm-hmm. even think by things beyond that situation of taking care of my mom, but even things I saw it within my family, you know, of verbal abuse or whatever, or physical abuse. And so it's so crazy. You hear it all the time. You tend to date what you see or you're around.
Yep. Yep.
And in our culture, I don't know, you know, I know in our, honey, I would never let a man do it. No.
Right. You'd be that same one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was. So I married somebody. I was only married for 5 months. And I'm thinking, here I am. I did it right. Waited to marriage to have sex. No guy could fix me. Fingered seam, I mismarried, nothing. You know, mm-hmm. like, okay, God, I'm doing it right. But I chose the wrong person
mm-hmm.
because I was an unhealthy person. I chose a very unhealthy person. So it lasted for 5 months. It was verbally abusive, emotionally abusive.
So pause. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, as it relates to seeing the signs of a toxic relationship, do you feel like you saw that prior to and you just ignored them? Do you feel like the people around you were giving you any, you know, vibes that it was not healthy for you? Or what was going on then?
I saw what was normal. It wasn't toxic behavior, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't abusive behavior. It was normal. I saw what was normal. Maybe what was bad, I deemed, okay, that's a little bad. But no, it wasn't, definitely was not toxic to me. Definitely wasn't a sign. It was normal behavior that you should change.
Right. Because that's what you saw, that's what was around you. So you didn't even know to see anything as, wow, that's deep. I think mm-hmm. a lot of women that maybe find themselves in that space, maybe they're having this a little bit moment of awakening, can attest to that. Like you're in this season where you're like for even for my personal story, my relationship prior to meeting my husband was like, my dad wasn't really, he was in my life, but he wasn't like present in the home. And so mm-hmm. I was like searching for love, like trying to find who can I cling to get the love of my dad that wasn't mm-hmm. necessarily showing up? But I didn't even know that's what I was doing. You didn't even realize that's what you're doing, or that's what, you know, that's what's coming across when you're getting people who are desiring, you know what I mean? Who are essentially looking for love in all the wrong places is my, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In my personal story.
Yeah.
Interesting that you say that. You're like, I didn't see nothing. This is what was normal to me at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, well, Camille, like, what do you, when you look back, what do you see? Oh my gosh, I look back and I see, oh my goodness, that was a verbal abuse. And why did I stay in that situation? There's certain situations that pop in my mind. I'm like, yo, when he was like, you can get out the car and da 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 da, like, you know, I'm not picking you up. Why did I continue to date him? And I thought, oh shoot, I experienced that. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I experienced that, you know, before, you yeah. know, or I seen it, you know, in my family. So it wasn't bad. Right. I mean, it wasn't abuse. It wasn't a red flag. It was just a temper, mm-hmm. maybe, mm-hmm. you know, it was normal. So it wasn't a sign. I remember, I've never even talked to Ashley about this, but I remember one time I had called Ashley because I was in a bind, but I was in that bind because of the guy that I had married. And I remember she said to me, I was like, you know, I'm waiting for this check or da 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 because this happened with him and so and so and so. And I remember she was like, you know, well, first Camilla, like, you gotta figure out what you're doing with the situation. You can't continue to always be in these bad fights. Like, it's not healthy. And I got so offended by her. Wow. And I was like, oh, so I'm not talking to Ashley about this. Mm. I've never even told her that before, you know, but I was so now. Offended. Yeah. Yeah, she know now. But I was so offended because it was, again, I was protecting. Something yeah. that was unhealthy, mm-hmm. right? And I had learned to even protect, you know, by a child. I used to do that.
Yes. Wow.
You know,
the correlation. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it definitely showed its head in my behavior. Isn't that crazy? Like, they say that whatever you go to counseling for what your parents did or showed or did not do to you when you were little. but in its totality, what I saw, you know, I come from a very, very big family, but not a lot of marriages still stand, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's in everything of what you see, you know, and what you think is right. And so my first months in this relationship, this marriage, we get married, you know, don't have, his only thing was to get us a place to stay. We slept in our car one time, like the first week we were married. He pawned my ring, I think within 2 weeks, but beyond even all that, I probably could handle those things, and I did handle those things, but the verbal abuse heightened. And so then it became like, wait a second, what is this? You know, mm-hmm. Just very demeaning, very dismissive. And honey, I was literally, I'm trying to give details and then wrap it up because we have a short time in this podcast, but I, in short, was sleeping with a chair behind my door before I left this crazy person, you know? Gosh, yeah. I had like diarrhea every morning. Like, I was scared to go downstairs in my house when he was home because of the verbal abuse. Now, don't get it twisted. The first month, it was, you know, word for word. I'm from the 954, baby. Mm-hmm, okay. So mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. I was cussing. I was saying a couple, you know, choice words. I was BC Camille before Christ Camille came out. I was defending myself, right? Mm-hmm. But because of, you know, I was raised in the church. I'm like, okay, let me buy all these books. So buy a book for a woman who prays for her husband and da-da-da-da, all this stuff, because I'm going to pray now and hope to God that he changes. Mm. I am going to be quiet, but I would cry in the stuff that he would say. So I was questioning who I am. I owned a company for 4 years at that time. And I was looking up, are applying back to school because he would start to say, like, well, your other friend's doing this and you need to do this and give up on you. Like, who's still being an actress and who's still being a mom? When I was paying for us to live years prior, you know, mm-hmm. that had got in my mind. I had started doing applications, stuff, getting outside of Camille. I only get upset when I think about who I was at that moment because I was so broken, so unsure. I didn't recognize her. And my girlfriends, Ashley, Paola and Sheena and Cherie, and even Tony Gaskins, I would talk to him and he was like, you know, Camille, like, basically in such a loving way, they all were like, it's not you and this isn't healthy.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And so of course, when things, you know, I was at one of my big sister's house, Millie, and talking to her and I'm like, you know, it's just the first year thing. I broke down crying. And she was like, baby, that's not first year marriage problems.
Right.
That's not good.
What people talk about when they say first year marriage problems, that's a whole nother. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was a lifetime movie. I don't regret it because, oh my gosh, in so many ways, he was the window that broke, that shattered this unhealthy house that I built, this mm-hmm. house of serving people, doing good work and not God work, mm-hmm. thinking that because it was a good thing, it was God thing. And every aspect of my life was like dismantled for the greatness of God and the glory of God, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for sure.
I was able to see how I made stuff happen that was not in God's will. I remember praying like to God, like, you know, what should I do? And clear as day was like, this ain't your husband. I was like, oh, that's the devil. Like, because, you know what I mean? Like in the Bible, it says you can't get a divorce. And then I was, I guess, awakened to actually what the scripture says. Like, you know, God, baby girl, God doesn't want you in an abusive situation. That is not his will for your life. But religiously, I thought it was to suffer, you know, but that's not God's will. So I got out of that situation. Yeah. He left to go to a trip and I packed up and moved everything out in a day and was gone.
Ooh. So do you feel like, was the people around you that helped you get a sense of awareness? Was it that combined with just, you know, being in your word and having an aha moment? Like, where was it where you were like, oh my God, I can get out of this. I'm getting out of this and it's time to go. Like, how did you make that choice? Because I know a lot of women get stuck in this like holding pattern, you know what I mean? In these relationships that aren't serving them.
You know what? It was definitely God using people because I was unhealthy. I wasn't even unhealthy in reading scripture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me it was stay. And it was, oh, a God can save a person through the sanctity, a woman. I mean, the man is the sanctity and sanctification of the wife, you know? So I wasn't even unhealthy. It was people. It was God using people. I remember Tony told me, Camille, only a man can destroy or restore a marriage. God has given him that head leadership. That is not on you, you know? And so bringing, I guess I would say truth and light behind the word, God used people for me in that situation.
Yeah.
To really, and I was so, it was crazy because I was even acting in a stage of abuse because I had started not telling all my girlfriends everything.
Yes.
They were knowing pieces, right? Yes. And so even I remember one time Ashley and Paola came up for my birthday for February. And I was like, it was like the third month we were married. And I go, y'all, like, this ain't gonna work. Like, it's bad, you know? And I broke down. I think even then they were kind of like, well, why is it so bad? But then it was like, wait, hold on. Like, I don't know the moments they had, but I think it was like, we know Camille, something ain't right. And right. So even at the end, when I was telling them everything, you know, they were furious. Yeah. You know, I learned from their husbands, like, what were you going through? You know, even in manipulation. So I'm a virgin. The second night that we were married, I knew something was wrong, you know, in the sense of, and I don't know how PG this situation is, this podcast. Okay. So yeah. So even in like that, so I remember we were like, lack thereof having sex, you know, and he was like, you have to let me leave. Now I'm just laying. And so I'm like, huh? And he just, it was like 3 minutes of nothing, right? And I'm not even being like, you know, facetious in the situation. He's like, you have to let me leave, but I'm a virgin, so I'm tight. You just don't know what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know that at the time, but he like literally just rolls over, like, okay, like gets frustrated. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm done. Second night we're married, right? Attempting to, you know, embark on something that I thought was supposed to be not only special, but enjoyable, right? And that I looked forward to. I remember going in the bathroom crying. Because I knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. I knew like it wasn't supposed to be like this. It wasn't emotionally, you know, it wasn't like physically abusive, you know, then, but just like what just happened and didn't happen. And I didn't tell nobody, you know? So even things like that.
How do you, those are things where it's like super vulnerable. You just got married. Yeah. I mean, your first, you know, sexual encounter with your husband, it's supposed to be this holy, sacred, amazing thing. And now it's like, who do you take that to? You know what I mean? When we communicate, especially within the Christian circle of like, oh, don't tell nobody your marriage business. You know what I'm saying? And if
in the black circle, like, that's our belief. People don't tell me about your business, which is so false.
Yeah.
Like, you need sisterhood. You need therapy. You need counseling. You need, and the Bible says, find counsel, you know, and the wise and the godly. And so it was like, okay, well, no, I can't. I mean, so you're right. It's supposed to be holy and sacred, but it was unprotective, protected. It was scary. And it was his insecurity showing in manipulation and control, trying to make me less than, right? Mm-hmm. It's been my only experience so far. Jesus, Lord. You know, but and I know the best days are coming, and whoever he is about to show me and teach me. Hello, come on, baby. Yes.
I take a moment, look to the left, y'all, because let me tell you something. I know it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Jesus, teach me everything I didn't know, want to know. Okay, teach me, baby. All right, back to the subject. Anyways. So, Lord. It was unhealthy. I moved out of that Lifetime movie. So many things I can share where your heart probably would drop and be like, oh my gosh, from one day I was sleeping and he went from a run, he's standing above over me, like dripping in sweat, just stupid and trying to be, you know, intimidated, you know, situations and also what he went through.
Mm-hmm. It points to something. There's certain patterns. There's certain things, words that you're using to describe what I feel like people should hold on to, which is manipulation, right? Which is control, which is probably pulling the victim card. You know what I mean? Kind of using all these things, especially you are someone who, like you said in your past, you know, really was a protector, really was an open-hearted person who was like, you're an empath. All those things are, and they say that people who show toxic patterns in this way cling to people like you, people like me that are, you know, that are more are open-hearted, more like empathetic, more loyal, you know what I mean? More covering, more like literally those are the people that on the other side, manipulative, what is it? What's the other word I'm thinking of? Narcissistic, those type of.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Look for those people. Yeah, go ahead.
It was crazy because as you're talking, you know, I met him in church. Mm-hmm. And so this is a guy that opens the door before I get in and out of the car to people, you know, at church, like, oh my gosh, look how he just goes about making sure she's okay. But what have just reamed me apart in the car. You do too much. You talk too much. You just need to shut up. You just need to listen. Like, you just got to be quiet. You stupid. But open the door. Hey, sweetie, get out of the car. I mean, and you're in the situation. You're in church and he's worshiping and he has his arm around. And oh my gosh, like, look at this couple, this couple, like he must love and adore her, but gets home and leaves. Like, I don't even want to look at you. I remember one time he told me in front of his friend, like, I go, do you want to, like, we just went to counseling. It's our first and only time we ever went to counseling before I left him. And I go, do you want to go watch the playoffs and go to this game and, you know, whatever. And he was like, no, I don't want to be around you. Like, I don't want to look at you. That's why I don't even touch you. And that's what he was, you know, in front of his friend, you know, but in the same 2 days later, like, okay, are you going to church with us? Yeah. Like, are you, you know, like, open the door because I have to keep up this facade. It was sleeping with the enemy, you know, like literally like, and what are you doing? You know? And he wasn't working prior to us getting married. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. I never dated these people. Like, I've never dated like in that way, in that form. It was like, he was totally different than all the guys that I dated, statue and looks and pocket and money, you know? Because to me, it was like, oh, this was the first guy that had a relationship with God that I wasn't the strong one. And so, but you know what? I will never forget a weekend after I moved out or planning to move out. I went and had a girls trip with my girlfriends in Vero Beach at Sarah's house. And I will never forget, I think it was Christina or Sarah Apollo. One of them, sorry guys. We're all around the pool and they said to me, Camille, I don't know who it was. I know you married him because he like had a relationship with God. But they were like, you know, and they named like my exes and they were like, but so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so would never have treated you like that.
Wow. So they
called that. I was like, dang. Yeah. And when I tell you, it resonated with me. And I thought, yeah, he would never, and he would never, and he would never treat me like that. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, why was I in this situation? You know? So to women who are out there, I would say, especially if you're a believer, I'm going to let you know religiousness had something to do with me staying even longer than a week.
Wow.
Because I went on a marriage retreat. I talked to married ladies and the unhealthiness and the advice they gave me was just that, pray and stay. And let me tell you something right now, if you're listening, that is not God's will. That is not God's best. You are his daughter, as is your father who's walking on this earth, or your brother or your uncle or your best friend would come and beat that dude up for putting his hands on you or talking to you in that manner. So is the wrath of our dad in heaven. He does not want you in a situation praying that this man can change, because that's a form of you now trying to control him. Mm-hmm. Don't believe that lie. Get out. That is not God's best that you're crying, that you have diarrhea, that you're scared. That is not God's will for your life. And I can tell you now, and if you want to send me messages and say how that's not true, come on. I don't know what love you're believing in, but that is not God's love. Sorry. Ooh,
no, girl.
Just saying. Because I know that's why I stayed longer, you know?
Right. Because you're believing that lie. And if you're believing that you have to pray and stay, and that narrative of clinging onto it, especially if you're, I wouldn't even say a young believer, if you find yourself in that situation, it's the first time you're in that situation, you're hearing that message, and you start thinking, I imagine something's wrong with me, you know, because you want to leave, but you feel like, you know, Lord, why can't you get me right in order for me to stay here or fix this, or it's my job to fix this or change him? And it's like, you can't change a toxic person. They have to either get saved and change on their own. That has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? You can't change that pattern. So I'm so glad. Thank you so much for saying that boldly like that, because there's someone out there that definitely needs to hear that. So thank you.
Yeah. And even walking into the space of who you are now, I mean, you know, me and you were talking about that earlier, before we even started recording, you know, it was hard for me. I remember, I'll never forget, Millie was like, hey, what's going on with you? Because you're different. Mm-hmm. Like, she was basically saying, your light has dissipated. Like, you are not you. Mm-hmm. You don't have that light. And it's, you can't. You cannot be light when you're over, like, consumed or shadowed with darkness. With toxic people, not just even romantically. Yep. I'm talking about even in a platonic co-worker, friendship, family,
100%,
you know, 100%. Relative. There's no way that you can truly be bright when a person is always demeaning you or, you know, talking about you in a way that is not true to who you are. Because there's only so much. It's like you putting, you know, water in a cup and you putting oil in a cup. Mm-hmm. There's only so much of water that's going to allow it to stay after so much of oil is put in. Oil is going to expand and saturate to where it's just going to be a bunch of oil, and the water's just going to run off the cup.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're not going to know who, you're not going to be fully like embracing who you are, free and confident, when you're questioning if you're even good. Because that's what toxic people make you do. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was wrong. Shoot, dang. I know for me, it was like, well, dang, do I give too much? Am I talking too much? But baby, no. Like, Camille, that's God's gift he put on your life, to be transparent, to encourage his people. And now he doesn't like it because he knows that eventually you're going to expose him.
Yep.
If you continue talking. And people are going to know what you're in. And so that's why he's trying to shut you up, you know? Or, dang, am I too nice? What does that mean? Actually, like, come on now, seriously, what does that mean? So like, when you're in these toxic situations, you start to get, you know, clouded, and you think that your strengths are all weaknesses.
Yep.
You think your things that make you sparkle now are like thorns in glass, and it's cutting people because it's cutting them, because they don't like it. Because you know why? You being light and you sparkling, it brings more people, and insecure people can't handle that.
Girl, men, say it again for the people in the back, please.
I'm going to say it again. Listen, your light and your sparkle, the reason why that person, that friend, or that romantic partner doesn't like that is because it brings people to you. It attracts people to you, and insecure people can't handle it. Mm-hmm. She doesn't like that every time you're out as a girlfriend, you get the shine, or people are always attracted to you because they're insecure. Right. And they think, well, oh no, I don't want to be with her. I don't want to be around her. I don't want to help her do this because, you know, she's above me. And that is an insecure, toxic mind.
Yeah.
That's not even my brain concept. And me and you were talking about that one time. You were sharing with me.
I know. You know? Yeah. I was sharing the same thing that, you know, sometimes people have come into my life where it feels like we both can't both occupy the space without us both being comfortable. And I feel like not that I don't have any insecurities, but I'm so naturally comfortable in what God's called me to in my own skin, of just like all my quirkiness, dorkiness, lovingness, you know, empathetic, whatever, like whatever God has for me. I feel like I've gotten to the point where this is just who I am at this point, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, it's not to say I never look to left or look to right. I think we all kind of can do that susceptibly sometimes, but then it's coming back to your lane, back to your place. So it's like, when I have a friend or a sister not my sisters, actually, let me be specific. When I have friends that have come along, because my sisters would be like, what, girl? What are you talking about? Anyway, when I have friends friends that come along, it feels like, why are you exiting? Because we're in the same, like, kind of like we're in the same wheelhouse. Like, all of a sudden they disappear. Like, where'd you go? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to be a cyclical pattern with certain type of relationships. So yeah, when you see sometimes, you know, insecurity and, you know, that whatever it is for them, I know it is for me. I'm like, there has to be a reason. And I'm like, I just have to stay in my lane, and you can't allow someone else's like negative energy or their absence to pull you away from what God's calling you to do or how he's calling you to show up in the world. And so I had to receive that message from a friend and from my husband recently. He's like, don't allow other people to diminish your light. Like, you know, we'll tell you you're too much, it's the two word, T-O-O. You know, you too much, you're too little, you too whatever. You know, there's so many twos that we allow to define us by other people saying them. And then we start to second guess, you know, and we're allowing them to reduce us because of a two. Like, no, you are not two. Yeah. You're exactly who God has created you and called you to be. Stand in that, occupy it, and walk in that. You know what I mean? And yes, it's character shaping us along the way. But that doesn't change the core of who you are. It's never going to change. You don't have to be more bold. I don't have to try to be like you, Camille. You don't have to try to be, you know what I'm saying?
No, like, but I do want your hair. I do want to be like you and your hair. You are my hair goal. So I'm going to say it right now. Nope, I do want your hair. I do. Continue. Sorry, go ahead.
I never forget when I met you. You were like, girl, if God gave me that hair, you could tell me something.
And that's why he didn't.
He knows who to give it to.
And you know what, even that, like, I am so like, I guess, and that's a part, a woman told me, you know, the fact that you can draw out like people's beauties and their strengths, is indicative of your life. Right. A girl named LaToya, she told me that. One time we're having women's Bible study, LaToya Simmons, I'll never forget. And I go, I just see people like this. And I start talking, and she said, Camille, the only reason why you're able to see that that person's beautiful or strong or whatever you bring out is because that's who you are, and that you're pulling from your qualities. And I go, ooh, don't make me feel too good about myself. So maybe I do got good hair.
Girl, you have beautiful hair. You do everything. But what I love is just because you call something, and my friend told me this a couple, like way back, probably like 8 years ago, because she was like, oh, girl, you look so good today. You look beautiful. It's like, oh, you do too. She's like, boo, I know. She was like, she's like, we both cute. Just because I'm telling you, you cute don't mean I don't think I'm cute. I was like, I know that's right.
I love that friend. I love her.
Very well.
I love it.
It's like, it doesn't reduce you. It doesn't reduce you to give another female, another friend a compliment. I don't mean to say I don't love myself. I'm just calling out what I see in you. That's
yes. So I love. I mean, and you. And let me just say this though, because before I was getting on this thing, I was like, honey, let me just let y'all know, she got faces, y'all, over here, okay? I know y'all been on her page and stuff, but I'm like, she's fine with her hair naturally, but honey, I just saw her for the first time with her hair straight, and I was like, dang, who wife if I was a dude, baby? Like, I'm over here sliding the DM, like, I'm trying to respect your marriage, but I'm like, hey, you fine? You're like, what's up? You look good. It's like, all right. And I have on my vision board, that's on my refrigerator, like healthy, thick, beautiful hair. And I'm like, that's her. Oh. She's my vision. But even also business and purpose and just your, like, your heart for this, what you're doing, your podcast, like it's infectious. It really is, you know, and how you go about it and how you do it, how you schedule it. I'm like, she a boss. Meanwhile, I'm over here in my pajama situation, athleisure, you know. Right. And I'm like, she a boss over here. Like,
meanwhile, like, she's the biggest picture as you walk through the ATL airport. I'm like, yeah, it's so sweet, girl.
But I don't look like that right now. But it-
But no, to go back to what you said earlier, and I think what we were talking about is you can't walk in that space. So you know, doing what you're doing with this podcast, you being a wife and a mom and being that to the best of your ability, having this infectious spirit, if you had toxic people around you, there's no way that you can do it. Because you're going to, what you put in your spirit, even God says it, like your eyes, your ears, is your heart to your soul. Mm-hmm. We have a soul, which is our mind also, and then we have a spirit in our body. Yeah. And what you put into your soul starts to affect your spirit and what you believe about yourself. And so if that girlfriend or that boyfriend or girl, you know, whatever, girlfriend as in friend, sisterhood, or girlfriend as in guy, if you're listening to this podcast, if they're always telling you, like, you're doing too much, like, you don't got to say that, they are literally tearing down the colorfulness that God has made you be. Mm-hmm. They are literally trying to change what and who you are simply because they don't like how they feel when you are
right
high operating to your full potential. Mm-hmm. And that is, and so what you will do, especially if you have a heart for them, you're going to start changing. Mm-hmm. Because you want them to feel good, because it hurts you like it did me when I was unhealthy to see a person I love say that my personality or my spirit is, like, you know, disrespectful. He would always say that. You're disrespectful. You are disrespectful. And then I remember Tony, you know, he had to tell me one time, Camille, has your friends ever said that to you in 15 years? Has my wife ever called you disrespectful? Mm. So why would you believe it now? And I was like, dang.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm like, I am a very, no one's ever called me, a teacher has never called me disrespectful.
Right.
But he has, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you ridding yourself of that. And I know for me has fully allowed me to be in a space of, I love me. Like, I went through that. Like, after I left that situation, I fell in love with Camille. But you know what? I fell in love with me in my totality. I fell in love with my weaknesses as much as my strengths. Mm. I fell in love that when I get hungry, I get hangry. I fell in love with that. Because he would say, like, you know what he would tell me? You know, you probably should fast more to get rid of that spirit.
And wow. I thought,
girlfriend, I'm like, yeah, let me do it. But how crazy is that? Like, I can laugh about it right now. I'm like, stupid, you know? But he was like, you need it fast. That's a demon and that's a da-da-da. And you, I mean, girl, sounds so crazy seeing it, but I like, I mean, whatever. Anyways, no light to that. But yeah. I'm like, I like the fact that, yes, you know, I get a little hangry, you know? I am very protective of my friends. Mm-hmm. You will catch me repenting after you bother my sister or my friend. And I don't mind it. I believe God's grace.
I got these hands.
Let me tell you something. Hands and a word that's going to read you so good that you're going to be like, dang, I'm educated. Okay.
Yes,
and
yes.
I feel like God's grace is so sufficient for, mm-hmm. for me in those situations. Mm-hmm. But as much as I am about my spirit, the reason why I give so much, I remember that the video you watched when you said I was in tears is because I experienced hurt, brokenness, abuse. You know, I know how it is to hope and stand on something that does not come to pass. Mm-hmm. You know how it is to be in a fight of faith for an opportunity, you yeah. know, or a family member to get better that doesn't. I know how that feels.
Yeah.
And so I want to always encourage people to, even though they went on past this world, they didn't make it past cancer. Like, my aunt didn't do it, you know, my uncle, you know, passed, you know, that God is still God.
Yeah.
And their life was so purposeful. And he still used that for not only my greater good, but even for this world and who they touch, right? So whatever anyone may be going through at this time, you know, of facing something that's hard or being disappointed by God, I've been there. I've had suicidal thoughts. Camille, last year, never had that. Right?
Wow. Wow,
you know, had depression, but I want to tell you, it came before, I know, my biggest breakthroughs, my life-changing, altering, you know, roles, which, waiting on that call right now. Hey. And I can look back and say 9 months, I understand why, you know, why I went through what I went through, why I was married to a toxic person, why, you know, this relationship or friendship had to end, because God had to show me those situations so that I can encourage and give light to other people in those situations as well.
Yeah.
You know,
man, so deep, so good. So good. I have so much to, like, just chew on after this conversation. Aww. You're dropping that good word. Oh my gosh.
Liz, I love fresh. I just woke up. I haven't been contaminated, you know?
Right.
I haven't started listening to, let me tell you something, because I need Jesus and Cardi, okay? So Jesus, I haven't had to put on, anything. I haven't watched anything yet, you know, any show that contaminated me. I just woke up.
You
spent time with God.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we are going to wrap. I have one more question for you. For someone who is in the midst, I know you talked about this, but how do you heal, Camille? Like, you're on the other side, you've exited something toxic, whether it's friendship, family, you've created your healthy boundaries or cut off what you need to cut off. What does that healing look like?
Well, first, counseling.
Yes.
Go see a counselor.
Go see a counselor.
Go see a therapist, a licensed one. And if you're a Christian, a one that's licensed, mm-hmm. but a believer. Yeah. And so I went to see Bruce Hogarth. Whoop, whoop, Bruce. And he helped start my healing process, right? I always remember the person is not where the unhealthy behavior started. Mm-hmm. It started way before because you were either attracted and allowed that person's behavior to continually be in your space, in your life. Yeah. So it's something that prior that made you susceptible to it and make you, like me, normalize the signs, mm-hmm. right? So know that I feel like going to get that counseling, that help, helps you, kind of gives you a navigation, but it's going to look like something you've never seen. It's going to look like rage some days. It's going to look like victory some days. It's going to look sad some days. It's going to look embarrassed some days, because you are realizing, and when you're going through a situation, the reason why you're embarrassed and sad is because you're pulling back your strength and you realize your worth, and like, how did I let myself get in that situation? Yeah. So don't be mad at yourself for feeling angry, for feeling sad, for feeling embarrassed, because that's all a part of your healing, because you're realizing now, like, that was so not my worth.
Yeah.
And that's why you're so mad. That's why you're so sad. And in that time, you have to create boundaries for your heart. So you have to, even people that you do life with that you are not going to cut off, but that maybe are a little bit opinionated, mm-hmm. that are a little bit more religious than that relationship. You got to protect yourself in those situations, because you cannot allow their words, which is so, it will penetrate your heart, to start influxing you with their feed now. That may not be as bad, but still ain't healthy. You know what I'm saying? So creating boundaries is another thing. Therapy, just embracing every emotion, but also boundaries. And then forgiveness, of course. And that is a journey. It's not a day thing. Yeah. Forgiveness, or how Bruce says it, you can forgive a day, but healing takes some time.
Right, right.
And so I forgive him. I totally don't have any animosity or rage towards him. But there are certain things and situations that people can say, if I'm dating or whatever, where I'm like, oh, that's a trigger. Nope, and I close it.
Yeah.
And I also have forgiven him, but let me tell you one thing. He don't know where I live or stay. And if he was ever in front of my door, I'm calling the cops before I answer it with a weapon. Mm. Because I know that his behavior is unhealthy. Right. Doesn't mean that I haven't forgiven him, because I have, but you are not allowed in my space.
Yeah.
You are not allowed in my space. I have power. You're not welcome.
Wow.
You know?
I'm so glad you differentiated that right there, you know, because people could think forgiveness means accepting that person back in your life. It's like, nah, boo. They don't belong in the same sentence at all. Yeah.
And people will ask. I had a conversation with a guy dating in Atlanta. You know, he was like, well, why aren't y'all friends? And I'm like, would you ask a girl who's molested to be friends with a person who molested her? Mm. Why would I be friends with a person who abused me? Why? Right. There's no, we don't have a child. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we wouldn't even have that much to have a child. But anyways, I don't have to be friends. It's not safe.
Yeah.
Think about it. It's a person who literally reigned over you in a manipulative, controlling way.
Yeah.
And now you want to be my friend?
No.
Jesus, let me say this. Hail to the null in heaven, to the earth. No, thank you.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, just reclaiming your power comes from, I feel, constantly embracing your healing journey, giving yourself grace to feel it, through it, and creating boundaries and safe places for your heart. And in doing that, you will begin to be attracted and allow healthy relationships in your life. Mm. That's my little token, but I'm not a therapist though.
I should shut the book, put the, love it. No, that's so good. Thank you so much for coming on, Camille. I so appreciate it, sis. I mean, this was really good. You know, like I said, I have a lot of things to even go back retrospectively and think about, what are some relationships in my life that I can create some healthy boundaries around and reassess a little bit. So I think there's a takeaway for everyone, even if you might not be in the throes of a toxic relationship, we can reevaluate and reassess, who do I have in my life, and is it serving me? Is it helping me grow? Yeah. or is it reducing me, diminishing me, you know? And you give yourself permission to create boundaries in your life, you know, whether it's either cutting that relationship off completely, again, not just relationships with, like, you know, boy, girl, but also with, you know, whether it's family or friends, you know, sometimes it's boundaries and sometimes it's completely severing the ties, and you can kind of like go to therapy, figure out which one it needs to be. And, you know, take those healthy steps to get yourself, you know, in the direction of living and walking out the God call on your life. You know what I mean?
So, Yes. Sisters and brothers, just remember, and Tony says it all the time, love, true love does not hurt.
Yes.
God's love for us doesn't hurt. So anything other than that is just that. It's other than that. It is not love.
Yes.
So.
Love you. Thank you.
I love you. Give me your hair. And your kids.
Goodbye.
Bye.
All right, you guys, that is it. It is a wrap. Thank you so much for hanging with us till the end. And a special shout out to my girl Camille for coming on and just opening up, sharing her heart. I know you guys heard her heart through her story today. I definitely did. And I'm so thankful to my girl. If you want to connect with her, you can find Camille on Instagram at A Light Behind the Lens. Again, exactly how it sounds, A Light Behind the Lens on Instagram. And of course, you can always connect with me at Inkfully on Instagram and wherever else you hang out. You can find me at Inkfully. So let's keep the conversation going. I would love to hear, as I always say every week, how this episode has resonated with you. And I want to let you guys know something. This little podcast community is growing. We're almost at 10,000 of you guys now, and that's crazy for me to think about 10,000 of you listening to my voice every week. That's insane. But I want to say that, to say thank you, thank you, thank you to each and every one of you. Every download, every time you share this with a friend or post it to your story, it matters. It makes a difference. Word of mouth changes the game. So keep doing that. Rate, subscribe, share if you are finding this content meaningful. It helps so much to grow our little show here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that is it. That's a wrap for this week. Hit me up and I will talk to you next week. And as I always say, love well, live well, and ink fully. Peace.